Welcome to the Euro Auto Training Garage Spiel Podcast. Garage Spiel Podcasts are brought to you by your friends at Baum Tools Unlimited and Stallwilly Tools North America. Learn more at www.baumtools.com and www.stallwilly.com. Baum Tools Unlimited and Stallwilly Tools North America are proud to underwrite the Garage Spiel Podcasts. This is part three of our eight-part interview with Dennis Simonitis, Road & Track Magazine's engineering editor. In this episode, Dennis talks about some of the experiences that sparked his interest in alternative forms of power.
Another high point that comes again because of the unicity of the affair. I was the journalist participant when a Toyota crew took its fuel cell car from Fairbanks, Alaska, to Vancouver, British Columbia, 2,300 and some miles. It was a fuel cell car, you know, the hydrogen-powered or hydrogen-fueled, super clean, I mean, immensely, the car of the future, no doubt about it, the car of the future. And we had quite an assemblage of people supporting the activity, but you know, we drove the car. It drove like trees. I mean, it was so reliable, and we drove it to 2,300 and some miles. And then a week later, they gave me another car of the same kind, and I drove it, not nonstop, but you know, drove it with a couple three stops from Las Vegas, Nevada, to San Diego, on one tank of one fill of hydrogen, which was a distance of 430 miles. And in fact, the purpose of our event was to see how far we could go on one tank of hydrogen. So we filled it up in Las Vegas and left at 4 in the morning or something like that, and drove down following the Colorado River, then across the desert and so on. The cool part about the story was we got to San Diego with a little bit of fuel left. We weren't sure how much. We thought, well, let's go over to Coronado across the bridge, and then we'll just drive around Coronado Island until we run out. So we drove across the bridge, and we drove around. We got about two-thirds of a lap around this really tiny little island, and bang, that was it. So it was 436 miles. I'm tempted to say to this day it may be the farthest trip of any fuel cell car on one tank, at least that people are talking about. Toyota now has a couple of later generations of that same car, and they may well have gone 460 miles or something like that. At the time, it people are saying, oh, fuel cell cars are not going to work because they only can only go 200 miles and it's hard to get a hydrogen and so on and so on. Well, this one went 436 miles. So, and its sister had previously gone 2,300 and some miles without so much as a whimper. So, you know, the fuel cell, full disclosure, Simonitis is a hydrogen fuel cell nut. Yes, I am. But I admit to it, too. And
you write about alternative fuels a lot in your column. What is there a specific place or time or something that kind of began to pique your interest in the alternative fuels?
I think one reason it came about is just recognizing, as we all have, that we're dealing here with a finite resource. You know, the gasoline or petroleum. Petroleum is not forever. And so there must be some additional way of fueling our personal mobility. I am a really firm believer in personal mobility. You know, us doing it one by ones or two by twos rather than just with mass transit or something like that. So the awareness that there is only so much petroleum possible gets me interested in what we can use in addition. And plus the fact that, you know, I'm a technoid. I love to learn about things technical. And the smart people I talk to give me lots of opportunities to learn about different options. You know, gasoline, petroleum is not the only option.
I have to wonder, and I the 7 years you spent on St. Thomas, did that have any effect on it? I mean, how do those folks get the fuels they need? And, you know, is it in short supply? Is it carefully metered? Or
curiously enough, it was expensive. But curiously enough, on St. Croix, which is the other big island and 20 miles away, there was a huge Getty oil refinery.
Okay.
Now, I don't know for certain that we got any of the fuel from there. It would be typical of economics sometimes where they refined the fuel there, shipped it back to the States, and then shipped it back out to us. That
right,
would not
sure.
be impossible. But I recall fuel was expensive, not prohibitive. For instance, I don't believe, even when I was on St. Thomas, the fuel there was as costly as it was in Europe at the same time. And just as now, the huge differentiation between fuel in Europe and fuel in America.
Sure.
So, no, I don't know if that got me thinking about the limited resource. For whatever it's worth, I was there during the first fuel crisis. The
okay.
first fuel crisis was
72, 73.
Yeah, yep. I was there in 72, yep. 73. So I don't honestly remember it, but there must have been a time when we were wondering where our next gallon of fuel would come from.
Our next gallon of 32 cent.
But I don't recall it. I don't yeah. recall St. Thomas ever being out of fuel. Now, by contrast, there's another goofy story that pops into my head. Forgive me for the digression. In the next fuel crisis was in 79, 80, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Early
by
eights,
which
yeah.
time I was already at Road and Track. And as engineering editor in those days, one of my jobs was to identify, you know, we'd have maybe five cars around, was to pick out who's going to drive what car. And being the greedy little kid I was, maybe still am, I would sometimes save the best car for myself, or the car that I wanted to drive. Well, we had a Ford Fiesta, which was their little, I mean, we still have the Fiesta, but this was a latter-day Fiesta.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But this one had been breathed on by Healy. So it was a Ford Healy Fiesta. And it was a hot, it had like a Formula Ford engine in it. It's hotter than it can be. Made all the right snarls and everything. It was a boxy little.
I owned one.
Oh, you owned one.
Not a Healy version.
Well, in fact, I don't know that the Healy version, there might have only been one such car. In any case, we had it at Road and Track. I had driven the car at the test track and thought, God, this car is fun. And it was coming up to a weekend. I thought, hey, man, this is going to be my weekend ride. So I made sure that when I made up the list of who was driving what, man, the Healy Fiesta, Seminitis. Unfortunately, that Friday, the second fuel cell crunch hit. And the gas station up at the corner had a line that stretched, you know, half a mile long. Worse than that, it had no zero zip high test. This car was a high test only car. And it was long before smart engine controls allowed a high test car to be driven on lesser fuel by virtue of cranking off some ignition advance. So I was stuck with a car that had like a quarter of a tank, and here it was a Friday evening, and that was it. So yes, I had the car for the weekend, but I had to get back to the office with a quarter of a tank on Monday. So yes, I know the fuel crisis. Maybe that was the point where I started worrying about alternative fuels. I don't know. I think I got interested, though, also on an intellectual level, that it's, yes, we're going to have to find different fuels, different means of propelling our cars, and why not learn more about them?
Sure, sure.
You know, the part of this, too, that cannot be overemphasized is how fortunate I am and other people in our business are that we get to talk to the experts about things like this. You know, we are not the experts ourselves. We're the conduits, if you like, to our readers and to our larger audience, because we get to talk to the specialists in fuel and the specialists in transportation and in automotive engineering and automotive production. And you hear all these smart people talk, and if some of it stays in your head, hey, that's great. You know, you kind of become an authority. But you're only an authority because of all these neat authorities you've had a chance to talk with. So, yeah, I'm very much interested in, I think all of us at the magazine are interested in alternative fuels and alternative power. It's partly a trend of the magazine over all the years. Old-timers will remember the name John Bond, who John Delane sort of turned the magazine from a nice little business here in California into a real magazine and into a real business. John was always one for efficiency of design. and efficiency of performance. It wasn't that, I mean, he's not saying he's looking for a car that's a wimp, that's high mileage. He's looking for a car that uses its fuel in an intelligent way and uses it to its maximum capability. And if it has a lot of high performance, great. And he'll even allow it to be a fuel guzzler, a gas guzzler, if in fact it's returning good performance for that use. The worst thing is inefficiency.
Right.
So, again, with these new fuels, we can have efficient and inefficient uses of these various options.
Be sure to check out the rest of our interview with Dennis at www.euroautotraining.com.